I am Neo. Welcome to the Skeptic Arena. Today is July 27th, 2008. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's subject, from the website of famous skeptic debunker Winston Wu, is argument number 4, the invisible pink unicorn false comparison tactic. He gives a typical usage. Of course I can't prove that God, spirits, UFOs, paranormal phenomena, or metaphysical realities don't exist, but you can't prove to me that invisible pink unicorns don't exist either. The comparison used in this skeptical argument is notoriously common, yet severely flawed and ludicrous. Winston, your choice of the words flawed and ludicrous is right on the money, but not as a reference to skeptics. They more accurately described your thinking processes. He goes on, it is often more of a belittling tactic than a reasoned, logical argument, used when skeptics are challenged to disprove a paranormal claim. Winston, you are committing the logical fallacy of switching the burden of proof. The claimant is the one who has the burden to prove their claim. No one is under any duty to disprove any claim. Only people who cannot back up their claims resort to switching the burden of proof. He continues, other similar variations of this are, but you can't prove to me that there wasn't a dragon hiding in my garage either. Or, but you can't prove to me that little green gremlins aren't stealing pennies from my pockets either. The premise behind this argument is that if a claim is unprovable, then it's in the same category as everything that's been made up or fictionalized. Winston, you got the premise wrong again. Claims that have been made up or fictionalized are in the category of fraudulent claims. Claims that have not been proven are in a separate category, unless it is later proven that they were made up, in which case they would then move to the category of fraudulent claims. He says, however, it is a complete straw man argument. Winston, and who would know better about straw man arguments than someone who uses them in just about every one of his arguments? That would be you, Winston. He continues, because it falsely redefines the opposing position in terms that make it more easily attackable using false comparisons. Winston, they are not redefining the position. They are asking for proof. Religion always tries the same trick. If you dare question them or ask for proof, they try to claim that you are now the one making the claim. There is only one reason people do this. It is because they do not have the proof. Winston continues, a simple examination reveals this. First of all, the biggest problem with this argument is that what people actually experience is not the same thing as what a skeptic deliberately makes up for satirical purposes. To compare the two is ludicrous and illogical. Since the skeptic using this argument hasn't really experienced invisible pink unicorns himself, everyone knows that he is deliberately making up something fictitious to put down something he doesn't believe in. Winston, wrong again. The skeptic is not putting down something he doesn't believe in. He is demanding evidence. Winston says, number two, what someone sincerely believes is not the same as what someone knowingly makes up. Okay, Winston, I'll give you that one. He continues, since the skeptic who uses this argument don't believe in invisible pink unicorns himself, it is pointless as well as inconsiderate to compare that to what people genuinely believe and experience, such as God, spirits, or ESP. Winston, so what this is really all about is you got your feelings hurt. He continues, of course, just because someone genuinely believes in something doesn't make it true. But to compare an honest person to a deliberate fraud is not a valid comparison. Winston, once again, we are in total agreement. His third point, if like paranormal, psychic, religious, or spiritual experiences, there were millions of credible, intelligent people out there claiming to have seen or experienced invisible pink unicorns or dragons in their garage, then this comparison would have some merit, but there aren't. So this comparison is without merit. Okay, Winston, let's move along. His fourth point. The significant difference between experiencing God, the divine, or the mystical, and the fictional example of invisible pink unicorns is that throughout history, millions of honest, sane, intelligent people have experiences with the former, which resulted in life-changing effects. But the same can't be said for invisible pink unicorns. Winston, give the pink unicorns a rest. His fifth point. Just because something is unprovable does not automatically put it in the same category as everything else that is unprovable. For example, I can't prove what I ate last night for dinner or what I thought about. Without witnesses, I can't prove what I saw on TV or how high I scored in a video game either. But that doesn't mean that these things are in the same category as every story in the fiction section of the library. Winston, I think the operative phrase in that paragraph was video game. Way too much time on the joystick, too little time in the books. He continues, the bottom line is that while it is true that no one can disprove the existence of invisible pink unicorns, the evidence to support God, spirits, and psychic phenomena, although mostly anecdotal, is vastly greater, more significant, more relevant, and more sincere than the evidence to support invisible pink unicorns and other fictitious examples deliberately made up by skeptics. Winston, we didn't make up the pink unicorns. They're real. And that's enough of Winston Wu for today. Now the skeptic arena goes abroad. Every week I bring you a story from around the world that has something to do with skepticism. Today the arena travels to France, where the headline reads, Court Suspends Virgin Case. Is virginity an essential quality of a bride? Should husbands be able to legally insist on it? And in case it turns out to be lacking on the wedding night, should they be entitled to get the marriages annulled and to drop their brides like defective articles? This is currently a topic of hot debate in France. A French Muslim couple, he is an engineer in his 30s, she a trainee nurse, had married in 2006. When on the nuptial bed he found her not to be a virgin, he promptly announced it to the still partying wedding guests and sent her back to her parents. Last month, the marriage was annulled at the husband's request. After a court accepted his accusation that his wife had lied about being a virgin. Under the French Civil Code, lying about an essential quality of the relation can be taken as a reason for annulment of a marriage. The case sparked a hot public debate, and feminists called it a fatwa against women's liberty. Justice Minister Dati, backed by President Sarkozy for her decision, directed the public prosecutor to file an appeal against the annulment, lest it sets a precedent establishing virginity as a requirement for marriage that can be legally claimed. The case is suspended. The marriage valid again for the time being, and at least until September, when the decision of the appeal court is expected. This twist, however, has created a quite absurd situation, as none of the protagonists is willing to continue this marriage, restored for principle's sake. The woman objected the decision and declared through her lawyer that she just wanted the marriage to be over so she can get on with her life. Second story from France, 10 stitches that can save a life. French plastic surgeons offer a new intact hymen to women who need to prove their virginity for marriage, social, or religious reasons. The operation, conducted for outpatients in some private clinics, is just a cut and 10 stitches, costing half an hour and $2,000 to $3,000. But for most of the clients, it opens a new life. The French College of Gynecologists opposes hymenoplasty, quite cynically, on moral, cultural, and health grounds. But the demand for it is growing fast, and it is practiced in many private clinics. France has a Muslim population of 5 million. Among the clientele are foreign students who would, despite academic certificates, not be able to return to their homeland without an intact hymen. It is not just a marriage commodity. Their very lives depend on it. In two cases that have been recently reported from Egypt, men have killed their brides on the wedding night because they could not deflower them. In one of the cases, post-mortem proved that the murder was an error. The victim had in fact been a virgin. In many Muslim countries, women are being killed or cruelly punished by their fathers and brothers if they stain the family honor with premarital sexual experience. But also, French Muslim women of foreign origin are suffering pressure and harassment from their traditional families and communities. Caught between two worlds, the liberal European society and the deeply religious and restrictive society of their families, this operation is for many the last escape route. I'm at a loss for words. That is just too depressing. So let's go to the science segment. Hopefully this will be a little more cheering. Today's science segment is the history of the planet Earth. I will give the event, and I will give the approximate or estimated time that it occurred. The Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago. The first stars begin to form, 13.35 billion years ago, which means from the time of the Big Bang to the time that the gas within the nebulas began to condense and form stars took about 350 million years. Our Sun, 4.57 billion years ago. And as old as our Sun is, you have to realize that the universe had been around for 9 billion years before our Sun even formed. About that same time, the Earth formed, and a collision soon thereafter with a Mars-sized planet led to the formation of the Moon, which occurred when the Earth was only about 50 million years old. This Moon, our Moon, was only about 40,000 miles away at the time it formed. As most of you know, it's about 240,000 miles away now. So it was much, much larger in the sky at the time. Some people point out that the Moon and the Sun are exactly the same size in the sky. Well, for the first 4.5 billion years, the Sun was quite a bit smaller than the Moon. As the Moon continued to recede, it now is exactly the same size. And in the billions of years that follow, the Moon, as it continues to move away from the Earth at more than an inch a year, will become smaller and smaller, and the Sun will be much larger in the sky than the Moon. 3.75 billion years ago, single-celled organisms formed in our seas. 2.3 billion years ago, oxygen in the atmosphere increased and mitochondria developed. 570 million years ago, the first multicelled ocean dwellers, including sponges, cnidarians, and later trilobites. By the way, sponges are the ancestor of all living things. They've been around for 570 million years. 110 million years later, that would be 460 million years ago, land plants first developed. 60 million years later, that's 400 million years ago, the first insects appeared. 367 million years ago, the first trees. 350 million years ago, fish left the ocean and became amphibians. It took 50 million years before they turned into the reptiles. And that occurred 300 million years ago. And then an event hit the Earth at 250 million years ago that wiped out 90% of all species on Earth. It's unknown whether this was a single event or a combination of events. There are many theories about a possible asteroid, volcanic activity. Many hypotheses abound. No one really knows, but the Earth nearly had to start all over. 240 million years ago, dinosaurs branched off from the reptiles. 220 million years ago, primitive mammals branched off from the reptiles. So while dinosaurs and mammals are both descendants of reptiles, they are not related directly to each other, except through reptiles. About 200 million years ago, the Earth was a single landmass called Pangaea, and that began to break apart, and the continents drifted into the positions that we see them in today. And it took 200 million years to reach the geography that we now see on our globes. 170 million years ago, the first birds appeared. They branched off from the dinosaur family. 130 million years ago, the first flowering plants. 80 million years ago, modern mammals. 70 million years ago, the first primates. That would be us. 65 million years ago, between 50 and 90% of all animal species were destroyed. We got hit again. And this was the famous destruction of the dinosaurs that caused the extinction of the entire branch. 30 million years ago, the first monkeys and apes appeared. 20 million years ago, grass. And I mean the kind that you mow with your lawnmower. 3 million years ago, the first evidence of ape-like men. 465,000 years ago, we find the first evidence for fire being used for cooking and heating. 400,000 years ago, the use of weighted spears with blades for hunting. 200,000 years ago, Homo sapiens diverge as a distinct species, and that would be us. Also, at 200,000 years ago, was the first evidence of the treatment of skins for clothing. 80,000 years ago, humans started using sophisticated fishing tackle and developed musical instruments. 60,000 years ago, we have the evidence of the first painting and sculpture. 30,000 years ago, the Cro-Magnons, that would be us, probably eliminated the Neanderthals. It was the beginning of the cultivation of plants and the domestication of animals. 10,000 years ago, we have the first permanent settlements as villages. And in the year 4004, God created the earth. And that brings us to the end of the history of the earth. And now for the last segment of the show, famous quotes. The famous quote today is from Bruce Lee. He was born on November 27, 1940, died July 20, 1973, at the young age of 32. He was an American-born martial artist, philosopher, instructor, and martial arts actor. He was the founder of Jeet Kune Do Combat Form. He was widely regarded as the most influential martial artist of the 20th century and a cultural icon. He was also the father of actor Brandon Lee and actress Shannon Lee. He was born in San Francisco but raised in Hong Kong. His Hong Kong and Hollywood-produced films elevated the traditional Hong Kong martial arts film to a new level of popularity and acclaim, and sparked the first major surge of interest in Chinese martial arts in the West. The direction and tone of his films changed and influenced martial arts and martial arts films in Hong Kong and the rest of the world as well. Lee became an iconic figure, particularly to the Chinese, as he portrayed Chinese national pride and Chinese nationalism in his movies. And he primarily practiced Chinese martial arts, or kung fu. Bruce Lee did not fight professionally. However, his skills were highly regarded by professional fighters in both boxing and in the martial arts. And now the quote from Bruce Lee. A wise man can learn more from a foolish question than a fool can learn from a wise answer. And that's the show for today.
Are you ready, Bruce? Don't walk it.